those names and just reading what you would call the content. But you know, I don't think that would be fair to those people. Now, it probably wasn't fair how much I butchered their names either. But the point is, these people had something to say. They had something to celebrate. And what they're celebrating here is a dedication for the wall of Jerusalem. And if you go back and look, it's not just a celebration and dedication of this wall, but it was actually for the entire city that was also being reconstructed at the same time. Here we see God's people giving praise and thanksgiving. Throughout the scripture, we find this over and over. They pause, they take time to appreciate what God has accomplished in them, through them, and around them. Now, according to a recent church study, 90% of churches in the U.S. are stagnant or declined. But among 10% that are growing, there is one characteristic among others, not just one, but there's one characteristic along with others that seems to be significant, and that is that they celebrate what God is doing in their church and in their community. There is a sense of excitement about what God is doing. People want to serve and give back to a church because they see it leading to change lives. When you enter a church that celebrates, you are likely to be greeted with a handshake or a hug that along with it comes a genuine smile. God's people know they have something to be happy about. Dying churches, on the other hand, get together because they have to. It's what's expected. Their driving force is obligation, not joy or anticipation of what God's up to. God's people always have something to celebrate if we're paying attention to what God's doing. I want us to consider what God's people had just done in the scripture we had today. The remnant of believers God had brought together under Nehemiah's leadership had rebuilt the wall. 2.5 miles around, 8 to 9 feet thick in some places. And they did it in 52 days. They were celebrating a great accomplishment. But with this celebration, there was also an anticipation of what God was yet to do. As the body of Woodland, we've decided that today we're going to celebrate what God has done through the ministries of Linda and Melissa. Both of these women have allowed God to use them to bring life and hope through music, to impact lives, to grow the kingdom. And they're both being led to transition into serving God in different ways now. So today is not only a celebration of what God has done through each of them over years of ministry, but what He will continue to do through them, and how God will use the foundation they have provided to propel us, the family of Woodland, to the next stage of what God has in store for us. There are four aspects of the celebration that we see in Scripture that I believe we should be aware of today as we continue to seek to be a growing, joyful church of celebration. The first thing I want to look at, it goes back to verse 30. And I read that verse. It says, when the priests and Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. The purification we see here is a ceremonial purification, which likely included washing themselves, washing their clothes, animal sacrifice, fasting, abstaining from marital relationships. All of this was done as a reminder that in the midst of their celebration, they were to have a pure heart and they were to have pure motives. We have something to learn here also. When it comes to the church celebrating, it's not something we do just so we say we're going to go and have a good time. It's not a means to an end. Christian celebration is an acknowledgement of God in our midst and inside of us, bursting forth with power, joy, praise, and so much more. In order to have such a pure approach to celebration, we must place God at the center and allow Him to clear away anything not of Him. Such purity leads to a genuine, intimate celebration filled with promise of things yet to come. And Joey, without knowing it, gave me another insight that I want to place here, and that is there are many churches that enter into knock-down, drag-out fights because of wanting their type of worship, their type of music. Joey Wright stood up here, and not only did he acknowledge the leader that Linda has been in her musical abilities, but the gift she had given to him in introducing him to a different type of music and worship than what he had been used to. And I dare say that if we're open to it, that the reverse can be true as well. Because how we worship is not nearly so as important as who we worship. And so as we come together and allow God to be who God is with and have within us a pure heart, we may be surprised at what worship leads to. And this directly leads to the next aspect of celebrating, and I'm calling that celebrating God in a big way. So if we look at verses 31 and 36 in particular, I'll read those again. It says in verse 31, I had the leaders of Judah go up on top of the wall. I also assigned two large choirs to give thanks. One was to proceed on the top of the wall to the right toward the dung gate. And then if you go skip down to verse 36, it says, and his associates, Shemaiah, Azrael, Malaiah, Gilemaiah, Nathanael, Judah, and Hananiah, with musical instruments prescribed by David, the men of God, Ezra, and the teachers of law, led the procession. So you had these people, and what I want you to realize is that they were being bold. Nehemiah and the people who built the wall were bold. So here is what they did. Nehemiah probably gathered all the people together at a central gate, the valley gate, which was in the middle of the western part of the wall. And when all of the people were gathered there, he split them into two groups. I don't know if he did 1-2, 1-2, or I don't know how he did it. But he somehow or another, we know he got them into two groups. And as he, after he had gotten them into those two groups, the first group was led by Ezra. They went up to the top of the wall and started heading toward the dung gate. Then after that, the whole group was on the top of the wall heading south. It was the next group's turn. They went up on the top of the wall at the same place and started heading north. When the last man of the group was on the wall, Nehemiah brought up the rear. Now picture this for a second. The whole group of people assembled on top of the wall. Notice that in verse 31, and it says, some of you may have the King James Version, and here I think it said choir. In the King James Version, it says two great companies of them gave thanks. There almost seems to be an emphasis when you choir knows that it's musical, but if it's a company of people praising God, it puts some emphasis where I think we need to hear it. God's people didn't really have to do this. They could have just built an altar, had the typical Thanksgiving sacrifice, and gone about building a new life in their newly fortified city. But instead, they took time to really celebrate in a big way what God had done. Some people might say that today we're going over the top. Why all the hoopla? Because we have a reason, and that's because in our pure hearts we are truly thankful for what God has done through Linda and Melissa at this church in the kingdom, and we have had the honor of being able to share and benefit from it. We want not just Linda and Melissa to know, but all the people to know it is a big deal when God is in the middle of something. And this is how I would describe, or just another thing I want to emphasize. You've heard the phrase blowing your own horn or tooting your own horn. Melissa and Linda would never do that. And in fact, Linda in particular, she's struggling with this today. And if any of you know her, you know that. And so this isn't a comfortable thing to her. And for that, in some ways, I almost feel a desire to apologize. But at the same time, I think there is purpose in this. And I think this celebration is something that, although it may cause discomfort, it is warranted. and for both Melissa and for Linda, but more so for God. And so that leads us to what I want to share next. I want us to picture all the people singing and praising God along the top of the wall here in Nehemiah. As the people walked along the top of the wall, no doubt many were passing parts of the wall that they had worked on. What do you think they said? How about Zakar? I think that's the right way to say this, by the way. Zakar came to the part of the wall that he had built, and no doubt he had to make a comment, or he acknowledged it somehow or another. He realized this is where he had spent a good portion of those 52 days, and somehow or another he said something, or somebody saw it, and they look at Zakar and say, man, you did a good job. And you know that wall is going to be standing here long after all of us are gone. And it has a purpose, and God has used you. I don't know exactly what was said, but there's something about the celebration. And it's not just pointing to Zakar. It's pointing to the fact that Zakar was part of something so much bigger. He was working only one portion of the wall. But it's also just not about the wall. It's about God. And it's not just about protection of that city, but it's about what God does in our lives. And Zakar gets to realize that he's a part of that. And so are we. And that's why we have to not blow our own horn, but blow God's horn. The same kind of feelings come when we say, have you noticed how the churchyard at Woodland looks these days? We take pride in it. Or have you seen what's going on in the preschool? Or did you realize there's some new folks in the praise band? Or have you seen what we're planning for Trunk or Treat this year? Do you know that our youth are providing a Thanksgiving meal for the residents of Lovingston Ridge? Are saying all these things boastful? I don't believe so. It's a cause for celebration. We should joyfully celebrate the things that God has accomplished, is accomplishing, and will accomplish through us. And you remember, it said growing churches do that. We get excited about it, because when we're doing that, we aren't coming to a place and we say, you know, we got all this stuff we still got to do. We got all this stuff we still got to keep up with, because we aren't doing it for us. It's not about what we do. It's about the God of the universe that we get to participate with. And that's exciting. And it doesn't burn us out. It gives us energy. So we need to pay attention to where God is calling, what he is doing, and being a part of celebrating that. Linda and Melissa didn't ask for this, as I've said, but I believe everyone here would agree that they deserve it. When it really comes down to it, then we're not blowing their horns. They're not blowing their horns. We're celebrating God, and all the attention should be pointed toward him. I want to jump to something, and this just gives a quick example of how this continues in the future. And I've used this once before, I think, but there was a youth group who decided they were going to go out and help clean up some leaves in the community. And they go and do that, and they do a really good job, and the lady comes out and says how thankful they are, and she says, you know, you people from First Baptist Church have always taken such good care of me, and you care for me, and you could not have done a better job, and you're just a tremendous young folk, and I'm so proud of to be a part and know who you are. And they go back and they tell their youth pastor what she said about First Baptist Church, and they looked at the young person and said, well, I hope you told her that we're Second Baptist and not First Baptist. And the young person looked at him and said, I didn't think that was that important. See, the praise doesn't go to us. It goes to God. And then finally, I think God likes a good party. Don't hear a preacher say that from the pulpit very often, but I do. And I believe there are spirit-filled parties that God is at the center of. And you know, when the people were walking around the wall, they came back, they met. Did you catch where they met? If you go back and you look at verses 40 and 43, where did they end up meeting? Where did they come back to? They came back to God's house. They came back to the temple. They came back to the church. And from there, you know what? The celebration came to a climax. They kicked it up a notch. it was there was worshiping with the entire focus on the God of the universe. And it says at the end, at the very last, in some version, it talks about how loud it was. Here, what I read, it said you could hear it far away. That's what we should be about when we come here. And it should just be it should be a statement of what God's been doing throughout the week as we come back together. So I encourage you, as we continue to be Woodland and live out the mission He has given us, let's get excited about our relationship with God and celebrate that. Let's give praise for the opportunity He gives us to be together and acknowledge that we are who we are together because of who God is. And then let's not ever fall short of going out and giving that enthusiasm and praise and excitement to a world that's in need of God's love. God has a plan. We know that because of what He has done and what Scripture says He will do. We're going to continue celebrating a little bit longer today. We're going to have a meal today that's kind of in Melissa and Linda's honor. So I hope you'll plan to be a part of that. And by the way, if you've got a hankering for those coffee and donuts you usually have, that's going to have to hold off because we're not doing that today since we're going to have lunch. So go to your small groups. Enjoy that time with the small groups in what you're doing today. And when small groups are over, we'll celebrate that lunch together. But I want us to realize, and what this is about, and I had a conversation with Linda through email, and it was she really struggled today, and I made a promise to her. And that promise was, Linda, today isn't going to focus primarily on you, because for us as believers, that's not really what's supposed to happen. And you know, Linda and Melissa aren't the only ones in this church that need to be lifted up and celebrated. There are lots of people that do lots of things on a regular basis, and a lot of time, very few people know anything about it. And I'm not going to start listing a lot of names, but it just caught my attention. One of those is Roy David Brewer, that's sitting right back here. I know that ever since I've been here, he's been taking care of the treasurer and finances of the church. I can't even begin most of the time to figure out how to read the sheet that's got all this stuff on it. Now, he can take it, and he can tell me exactly what I need to know. He's just one of many. Church doesn't just happen. Church is the people of God coming together, sharing their gifts. And we don't do it for recognition, but we are supposed to celebrate. And so today there's an opportunity to celebrate, and we need to continue to look for those opportunities to celebrate what God is doing, has done, and will do in our midst. And that will get us excited about being a part of what's going on, and it will also cause others to want to know what all that excitement is about. I'm going to ask our musicians to come forward, and they will... Actually, I think Dave's going to have an invitation to him, and then the musicians, they'll also be playing something as we go out. I invite you to respond as God would lead today. Think about your life. What have you got to celebrate? I don't think any of us have a right to sit down and say, God has given me nothing to celebrate today. I don't know all, but I know a little bit about what Melissa's going through. And she still comes and talks about those trials being an opportunity to grow her testimony. In the midst of whatever we may have going on, God gives us something to celebrate. Let's pay attention to that and celebrate with a pure heart, tooting God's horn in a big way. Let's stand together. Lord, we thank You and praise You for who You are. God, You bless us over and over and over again. And we come and we worship and we give you thanks for that. But Lord, we should do more than give thanks. We should celebrate. We should celebrate in the moment what you do in our lives and not take that for granted. We should come together and get excited about hearing what you're doing in each other's lives and celebrate so loud that as people come by 29, they want to know what's going on because that church is going crazy up there on the hill. Lord, we need to be acknowledging and paying attention and caught up in all of who you are, God. Help us to do a better job at paying attention to the ways you bless us and being willing to celebrate that with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hymn of Invitations 493, Onward Christian Soldiers, and we'll sing all four verses, please.